Good morning. It brings sorrow to my heart to once again not be able to meet in person. It's something I had hoped wouldn't happen again, but suspected a long time ago would. Thankfully, the Lord is with us wherever we are, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would encourage you in this day where you are. I greet you with the words of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1, verses 2 to 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Shall we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we find ourselves once again not being able to gather, and yet we know that you are there always with us. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that we can come to you in prayer at all times, that we can come and read your word at all times, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of so many Bibles. We are rich in that, Lord, in this part of the world, where many parts of the world don't have that. And I pray for the church around the world, Lord, those that don't have the resources we do, aren't able to communicate by phone, Lord. Lord, may you strengthen them where they are. May you encourage us in this day. We ask for your leading of your Holy Spirit and pray, Lord, for your strength. And Lord, that you would grant us wisdom in the way we are to live out our lives. And because there is a lockdowns and restrictions, Lord, that is not to prevent us from living. You gave us a life for a reason. It is to worship you, Lord, and to do that with all our being. I pray, Lord, that we would take that to heart, each one of us. We ask for your strength and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a war going on. It is a global war. It is an invisible war. And it's not climate change. It's not COVID. It is the most serious conflict raging. It's a war that began even before Eve ate that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it is one that continues to this day and will continue to increase until the end of this age. It is one that is fought not with flesh and blood, but is spiritual in nature. It is the war Paul wrote of in Ephesians 6. It is the war between God, righteousness, and the devil, wickedness. We live in a time where if we are not grounded in the Word of God, furnished with His sacred armament, and trusting in the power of His might, we run the risk of being swept up in Satan's lies and deception. This is a serious war. In fact, it needs to gain our attention and awaken our alertness as the greatest threat we face. But know this first. Victory is already declared in Christ Jesus when we claim the power of that name. We need not be distressed of potential defeat, but spurred on to fight in a guaranteed victory. Ephesians 6 is a chapter we all probably are familiar with. It speaks of the whole armor of God. But do we truly understand the severity of the war being fought and the incredible and real armor our Lord provides us? For if we take these matters lightly or pass them off as just simply being oppositions of the flesh, being physical in nature with no spiritual component, then we play right into the hand of Satan. Satan wants nothing more than to convince the world he doesn't exist. He tries to convince the believer that he is beyond saving and lays doubts of his own salvation, all while convincing the unsaved that they are good enough and will not face condemnation. This is the war we are in. We do not have the option of being a conscientious objector. We can't sit on the sidelines. And we can't win by relying upon our own moral strength. Victory can only, and will only, come through Jesus and the armor he provides. If you would like to turn to Ephesians 6, and verses 10 to 20 speak of the whole armor of God. In here, Paul tells us of the war that we're in and encourages the believer to stand fast. Verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul begins verse 10, concluding his letter with a word of encouragement for the Christian in the spiritual war at hand. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have access to the power and might of God. Revelation 1 verse 8 refers to Jesus as the Almighty. And Jesus himself recognized in Matthew 28 verse 18 that all power was given unto him in heaven and in the earth. Before we even think we can stand against the wiles of the devil, we must first recognize our position in Christ as one strong in the Lord, as ones in his power. As Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit, we are positionally placed in the body of Christ. He is our stronghold. Secondly, we are to put on the armor of God, not the armor of man. We are not self-equipped. We do not equip our minds with the self-motivational personalities you may hear on TV, or the mantras that so many cults surround themselves in. We do not trust in vain babblings. We are armored by God. Remember back to the Old Testament, when young David was going to go up against Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17, and at the end of verse 37, Saul says to David, go and the Lord be with thee. This was the correct mindset. He was in the Lord, going out in the Lord. David was correctly positioned in the Lord to do battle with the evil Goliath. But Saul continued incorrectly by trying to equip David with his own armor, unproven armor. It was not tested for David, rather than allowing him to be equipped with the armor of God. If you continue in verses 38 and 39 of 1 Samuel 17, we read, and Saul armed David with his armor and put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. David positionally was ready to go and fight, but knew and recognized he was wrongly equipped. We Christians can be positionally correct, Trusting in the Lord is correct. Saved by the grace of God, once found in Christ, that is correct in our position, but wrong in equipped. We could be ill-prepared for the wiles of the devil. David wasn't a trained soldier. Remember, he was a young shepherd, yet God had prepared him physically for the physical, literal battle with Goliath. We too may not be soldiers in the literal sense, but spiritually speaking, God equips us, encourages us. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 says, we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, we read, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Hebrews 2 verse 10 also tells us that it is Jesus who is the captain of our salvation. And finally, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, we read, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We find ourselves in a war, but we are certainly not alone. Jesus, as our high captain, goes before us and comes after us. He surrounds us with his righteousness to endure the fight. Now look at this fight once again that Paul speaks of in Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In the world we live today, the invisible spiritual war is fought in the individual, but also in the global sense. What is invisible in nature is manifested in the physical. For example, when our governments tell us we cannot visit our families, can't visit dying relatives, but then turns around and proclaims that places like cannabis shops need to be open to the public because they are essential, I cannot describe that in any other way than darkness, wickedness. When the government tries to pass bills like C6, which would make it illegal to teach a child it's wrong to practice homosexuality, it's wrong to change your gender, all while making it possible for young children to permanently alter their bodies because of sinful impulses, this is wicked. Or Bill C7. Which would see the medically assisted suicide laws relaxed even more than they are, making it more accessible, more sociably acceptable in the eyes of others. This is spiritual wickedness. What Satan and his demons do in the invisible world have consequences in the literal physical world we find ourselves in. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. It is not with the individual humans who enact and enforce such damaging laws. They are human. They are made in the image of God, just as you and I. We need to pray for them, pray for their salvation, pray that their eyes are open to the truth, because no human is beyond saving. Jesus had compassion on a demon-possessed man in Mark 5. He cast the demon out into the swine, and freed the man of Satan's grip. That man departed to go and proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. Likewise, Jesus healed Mary Magdalene of 7 evil spirits, according to Luke 8, verse 2. And she went on to be a witness of Jesus' resurrection. And what about Paul, one who persecuted believers so fiercely, and yet God called him out of darkness and into light? He became a soldier of Christ. No, we need to pray for these people, especially those in government, those put in a position of power, even when they persecute us. For our war is not with them, but with those who have deceived them. That is what Paul is describing when speaking of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. He is referring to Satan and his horde of fallen angels. If we deny their existence, then we set ourselves up to be deceived. It is a real war, one that is not our duty to win, because we cannot on our own strength. Even the Archangel Michael did not bring a railing accusation against the devil when he disputed over the body of Moses, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee," as recorded in Jude verse 9. If the Archangel Michael wasn't to defeat Satan, then we certainly cannot either. That is the work of the Lord alone, and it will be swift and it will be complete. For who can stand against the Lord God Almighty? No, our job is to resist the devil, to endure hardness and stand against the wiles of the devil, to be a spiritual vanguard in this world, spirit-filled soldiers on the front lines. Being on the front lines is dangerous, yes, but when our soul has been purchased by the blood of Christ, then it is sealed by the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Ephesians 1 verse 13 tell us of this. In whom, speaking of Jesus, you also trusted after yet that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, what God has sealed, no one but God can unseal. In fact, we also read in 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 20 to 24, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, and who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I come not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, and by faith you stand." We who are sealed in Christ are called to take a stand in faith. And in order to stand in this faith, we need to be equipped not with our own armor, not with the armor Saul offered to David, but with the armor of God. And we should not focus on only one or two pieces of this armor, but the whole armor of God, as verse 13 tells us in Ephesians 6, so that we may be able to withstand and overcome all in the day of evil. When is this day of evil that Paul writes of? Well, it is now. It is increasing, and it existed even in Paul's time. Ephesians 5, verse 16, Paul wrote, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So if we are presently living in that evil day, then what are the literal, practical steps we need to take in order to be equipped by God? Firstly, we need to stand having our loins girt about with truth. We are to wear a belt of truth around our waist. Despite what many will try to argue and convince you of, truth is not relative. It is not subjective. Truth is objective. It is pronounced by God. Jesus said he is the truth. In fact, Jesus taught that it is the truth that sets you free. John 8 verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to believing Jews, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We can know and understand truth only once we have a relationship with Jesus. And truth isn't an overbearing burden. It is liberating, even when it's something that we don't want to hear. See, down in the United States right now, we know that they're past an election or in an election, depending on who you talk to. There is a war going on there. And I would say it is spiritual in nature as well. There's many polarizing opinions. Many people simply want to know the truth. They want to know it and will accept it so that they can move on. But there are also many who do not want to know the truth. They want to subscribe to their truth. When people say or talk about my truth, they are simply expressing their opinion, which amounts to nothing, my opinion included. The only opinion that should have merit within our lives is the Word of God, the truth, and we are to be equipped with it. Secondly, we need to take a breastplate of righteousness. Remember, we are not equipping ourselves with our own armor. It's not my righteousness, for that would surely fail, but the righteousness of God, which is to indwell and cover us. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus once again said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We also read in Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart." Truth and righteousness are directly related. When we know, love, and follow truth, then we will walk in righteousness. We walk in the rightness of God, and we are prepared for battle. Thirdly, we need our feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If we want to walk in righteousness and the battle goes on for a long time, our feet need to be protected in order to endure. Perhaps you have bought a pair of shoes in the past purely on appearances. You just like the aesthetics of it, without ever testing the comfort level. Perhaps you would have found out very quickly that any extended time of walking, your feet became sore, blisters formed, and those shoes were good for nothing. Now all they do is sit in the closet looking good. I've also heard it said from those in the army that one of the most important health issues was keeping your feet healthy, protected, so that you can continue wherever you may be going and marching next. As we go out, we are to be prepared to share the gospel wherever our feet take us. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings," that is the good news, "that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Fourthly, and above all, as Paul says, take the shield of faith. As we grow in faith, so does the shield God provides us. In Luke 17, verse 5, the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. We are to come to the Lord in prayer, and in such a prayer, he will answer. Why do we need a shield of faith above all? Because in this spiritual war, Satan is constantly attacking God's children through temptation, doubt, persecution, whatever it may be. There are many fiery darts of the wicked, but they are all quenched and extinguished by faith in Jesus. It is by grace we are saved through faith. We need to be grounded in this truth, believing it, believing that our souls have been purchased and sealed to the day of redemption. Satan's fiery darts cannot affect the eternal. Yes, our fleshly bodies may come under attack, may suffer, and even be destroyed. But it is Jesus alone who decides life or death of the soul. Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, Jesus tells us very plainly, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he is killed has power to cast into hell." He is speaking of the second death. "Yea, and I say unto you, fear him." John 5, verse 22, once again Jesus speaks to tell us that it is he who has this power. He is the one. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. There are two future judgments. There is the judgment of saints for rewards, as 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, and there is the judgment of the unsaved for the penalty of sin, as Revelation 20 tells us. You want to be in that first judgment. If we are in Christ, born of His Spirit, then pray and to increase your shield of faith to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. Fifthly, we are to put on the helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 refers to this helmet as the hope of salvation. In this war, if we have our eyes down, trying to protect our face, or simply out of fear, we can become discouraged. For we aren't looking to the end of the battle. We are not filling ourselves with the hope God provides. We need a helmet of salvation to protect our heads so we raise our eyes up to see the Lord is standing at the end of the battlefield. He is standing high above. Our redemption is drawing near. Titus 2 verse 13 tells us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The last piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We know that John 1 verse 14 tells us that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, He promised a Comforter, one who would indwell you. He imprints the Word in the hearts of believers by His Spirit. We live in the flesh, but we need to live by the Spirit. The flesh and spirit are always at war. Paul spoke of this extensively in Romans 7 and 8. This is the invisible war within each person. But we are to choose in this day to live by the Spirit, for He will rule in our lives. But if we choose to live by the flesh, the pleasures, it will ruin our lives. Hebrews 4 verse 12, we read, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God is calling us to pick up the sword He has provided, the Word, to study it. Pray God imprints it upon your heart, so you are fully equipped for battle. Paul concludes with the encouragement to pray. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. It's by prayer we are outfitted with God's armor. So pray for your family, your friends, fellow saints, and even your enemy in the flesh, for we know not whose heart God is ready to change. Paul ends by saying, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Are you an ambassador of Christ? If so, we must stand and speak boldly, trusting in God, putting on His armor daily, and trusting in His power and His might. I do not know how long these restrictions will continue. We do not know how long, but I do not suspect they will be only a few weeks. It may be quite some time. Now is the time to draw nearer to the Lord, to stay in contact with your family and friends, by phone or in person. Now is not the time to be separated, to be divided. But God calls for unity in Christ. And I want you all to know that if you need someone to talk to or visit with, I am always available. The world around us is ever changing. but the Word of God never does, for He never does. And there lies our hope. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know not the hearts of each one listening, but You do, Lord. You know the struggles that we endure, the fears that grip us, the anxieties we persevere through. Lord, I ask for Your strength. I ask for Your wisdom. I ask for Your guidance for each one. Lord, we pray that we would be built up in the faith, that we would be equipped, that we would be furnished with Your full armor, Lord. For we know that attacks are real and that they will increase in the day we live. And yet we have an eternal glory, an eternity of hope, of peace, of joy to look forward to. Lord, may our eyes be fixed upon that as we go out in this world. Help us to be the ambassadors You have called us to be, Lord, to be faithful to the calling, to be understanding of all situations, Lord, and to always look through the lens that You have provided, not that which we want to put on or the world tries to make us look through, but that which You have provided, Lord, the lens of Your Bible, so that we may see truth and understand it. We praise You and we love You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Now peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.